Good morning, and thank you for staying through the entire session on the last day. So I'm really delighted to be here. I'm going to be talking about a study that we did at the UCLA Center for Health Policy Research, which we call the Helping Older Adults Maintain Independence Study or Project. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors and principal investigator first, Steve Wallace, co-authors Jackie Torres, Charlene Chang, Yuan Chan, Anson Choi, Carolyn Mendes-Luck, and Ted Benjamin. We're very grateful for the funding support of the SCAN Foundation that enabled us to do this work. And so just to set the policy context for our study, California's Coordinated Care Initiative was signed into law in 2012, and it aims to improve both the quality and the efficiency of medical of the care by promoting the integration of medical, behavioral, and long-term services and supports for dual-eligible beneficiaries, the group that Dr. Patel spoke about earlier. These are folks who qualify for both Medicare and Medicaid, Medi-Cal as it's called in California. And this is going to be achieved through enhanced care coordination and in part through a demonstration program called CalMediConnect. California is one of 12 states currently implementing demonstration programs. These were established by the Affordable Care Act's Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation, and they advance and test new models of care for their dual-eligible populations. In the California example, approximately 456,000 dual-eligibles will be able to transition into a single organized or managed care delivery system, within which they will receive all of their medical, behavioral health, and LTSS, or long-term service and support, benefits. The first enrollment started on April 1st of this year in California in one of 8 demonstration counties. Each county has different timelines for enrollment and different managed care plans that are available to the consumers. And the way that the transition is structured is that unless the consumers take action to opt out, they are passively enrolled into CalMediConnect. So while CalMediConnect holds promise for better coordinated care, the transition has raised many concerns for consumers, family members, and providers alike. Many of the consumers are very anxious about changes to their existing networks of care. Some have worked very hard to cobble together a network of supports. Limited though many are, they feel that they respond to their multiple chronic conditions and disabilities and enable them to continue to live independently at home. So this graphic provides a snapshot of the home and community-based care programs in California. Most states have a similar set or mix of programs, and I'm not going to go into detail on each of these, but the main point is to illustrate the broad range of programs and supports, including family, friends, and pets, which should not go unnoticed because they provide the most help. And these are the programs and supports that the consumers rely on. And then I want you to imagine a managed care program that has to extend beyond its traditional practice of providing medical care to assume responsibility for the integration and delivery of this complex set of LTSS to an extremely vulnerable population. And to say it's a tall order, I think, would be a gross understatement. So when we first started the home study in 2010, we wanted to document how older, dual-eligible Californians who are managing complex conditions and disability in their own homes manage and maintain a network of formal and informal supports to maintain their independence. The longitudinal design of the study has enabled us to examine in real time individual-level changes in health and functional status and to observe these changes as they have occurred in the context of ongoing policy and program changes that have affected both the availability and the way in which these services are delivered. The overarching goal of the home study has been to put the face and the lived experience of the consumer of care onto these policy and program changes so that policymakers and others can better understand how these decisions affect real individuals. So we used a qualitative approach. The in-home supportive services program in 5 California counties helped us with recruitment. We recruited adults aged 65 years of age and over who are insured by both Medicare and Medi-Cal and are able to communicate effectively in either English or Spanish. For each wave of the study, we conducted up to 4 in-depth interviews with consumers and, when available, their caregivers. Over the past 4 years, we followed a total of 54 cases of dual-eligible older adults in 5 California counties who we believe provide a typical range of experiences. Our consumer participants range in age from 65 to 94. More than three-quarters are female. 40% of our participants are non-white and represent a range of racial and ethnic groups, including Latino, African-American, Chinese, Vietnamese, Filipino, and American Indian. Four of our participants are monolingual Spanish-speaking. So in the first year of data collection, we learned that most of these older adults are managing a complex and fragile web of formal and informal supports, and they all share a common determination to stay at home and maintain their independence. Many of these older adults are struggling with increasing disability and have physical and mental health needs that are unpredictable and sometimes unmet. Many lacked access to mental or dental health care, reliable transportation, and we found that some did not have enough help at home. So to illustrate these findings, I want to tell you a little bit about Fran. She's an 84-year-old Chinese immigrant woman with multiple chronic health conditions, including heart disease, fibromyalgia, arthritis, and she had a brain tumor removed several years ago before we met her. Fran raised her son as a single working mom. She was a homeowner, was extremely socially engaged, and involved in local political activities for most of her life. Fran now describes her energy levels as unpredictable. She has memory problems and trouble sleeping. Sometimes she's too tired to do anything or feels exhausted after attempting to do very little. Recently, Fran's health has gotten worse. She describes the changes she has noticed in the past year. And at that time, I was in better shape than now, and this year is worse than last year. When last year they asked me, I can still do a lot of things. Now I can't. If I cook and I burn myself, I cut myself, I fall down and drop things. So the components of Fran's support network are very fragmented, as noted here by the dashed lines, or totally absent, as indicated by the box without any lines. When we started interviewing her in 2010, the home she lived in for decades was undergoing foreclosure, and it was finally foreclosed at the end of the first year. Fran has made three subsequent moves during the study period. She struggles to maintain an IHS caregiver for more than a couple of months, sometimes just for a couple of weeks. She looks forward to having a caregiver that understands her health needs, that she can trust sufficiently to help her at home when she needs more support. Her informal supports are limited to just a couple of friends. She's also stopped going to a local senior center for lack of transportation and reports giving up regular physical therapy appointments due to unreliable transportation services. She has not had a consistent primary care provider and has experienced gaps in other areas, including dental care and culturally sensitive mental health services. So her case is a good example of the rationale for CalMediConnect. Given these gaps in her care network, there's a lot of promise for Fran in the quest for better coordinated care to help close some of these gaps to make her medical and long-term services and supports network more robust. In late 22, we went back to the field. We were anticipating this transition to managed care, and during this second wave of the study, we learned that our participants, the presentation of information they were getting about changes to benefits and programs was often very confusing and fragmented, sometimes even contradictory. Any proposed changes to the delivery of health and social care tended to evoke anxiety and concern. Not surprisingly, these consumers most value care that is provided by those they are already familiar with and responsive to their individualized needs and preferences. And while a good number of our participants don't have any family support, for those that did, family members often played a very critical role in filling these gaps in care, ensuring that the consumer needs were met, including help with communication and decision making. So a brief another example about Angie, a 77-year-old monolingual Spanish-speaking woman, another working single mother who until recently lived on her own. She has Parkinson's. At the beginning of our study, she was also diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Now she lives with her daughter, Julia, who serves as her IHSS caregiver and also provides many, many hours of unpaid care, in addition to working full-time as a caregiver in an adult day care health center. So Angie is socially isolated. She's at home alone during the day while her daughter's working, with the exception of a visiting nurse who comes once a week but does not speak Spanish. Angie and her daughter contemplated the idea of Angie attending an adult day health service program, which is now called Community-Based Adult Services. And this program would provide some relief for her social isolation and some opportunities for supporting her health and well-being. But they decided against it because it would have meant automatic enrollment in a Medi-Cal managed care plan and a switch to new providers. Angie was really especially concerned about losing her oncologist who had brought her through the treatment of her cancer, and she worried that a new doctor would not be knowledgeable enough about her medical history to coordinate appropriate follow-up screening and care. Her daughter told us she doesn't want to change doctors, especially the oncologist and cardiologist, because they know about cancer and they still see her and she feels comfortable. While Angie might benefit from the type of care coordination that would provide her with formal transportation services and mental health care in her language, and which would not depend so heavily on her daughter, her concern about losing her oncologist articulates some of the anxiety that consumers feel about potential changes, and also some of the real peril if she were to change without the sufficient transfer of knowledge and understanding about her medical history, concerns, her unmet needs, and the potential for improved care coordination. So, drawing on the findings from the Home Project, we make several policy recommendations to support the successful implementation of CalMediConnect. First, consumers need to be responded to in ways that reflect their individual circumstances, needs, preferences, and priorities. This past January, a new rule for the use of Medicaid dollars for home and community-based services was issued by CMS, and it requires a person-centered planning process that reflects people's preferences and goals. This is a rule that is going to need to be translated into real it has to be really operationalized. The managed care plans need a clear definition and a process for advancing person-centered care planning. It's a term that's been bandied about quite a bit, but what is it and how can these managed care plans do it? The components of person-centered care plans are expected to expand well beyond traditional health care and indicators to also consider the broader range of social, psychological, and environmental concerns that affect consumer well-being and quality of life. Second, the realization of better coordinated care through CalMediConnect and the advancement of truly person-centered care will largely depend on the extent to which consumers are well informed about what their options are and, as needed, supported in making decisions that serve their best interests. Local community organizations, advocates, and other stakeholders across the state have been working very hard to conduct outreach and to educate and disseminate information about CalMediConnect. But concerns are that many are not being reached. This is a large group of folks, more than 456,000. So managed care providers are charged with conducting health risk assessments and crafting individual care plans with the newly enrolled. These will be critical points in which the individual needs and preferences of the consumers can be identified if this is done right. Finally, the state's plan for CalMediConnect, it includes continuity of care provisions that ensure that consumers can retain their Medicare providers for up to 6 months and their Medicaid providers for up to 12 months. And while these are very important, they do not account for the full range of services and supports that most consumers value and rely on for their day-to-day care needs. So the continuity of care provisions really need to be expanded to be responsive to consumer needs and preferences related to for example, to their durable medical equipment, to their transportation needs or housing needs or pharmaceutical needs, since we have so many pharmacists in the audience. So participating managed care organizations should take the initiative to address these other needs for continuity. After all, addressing the needs and priorities of the consumer falls well within the purview and the intention of truly person-centered care. So thank you. I'll stop there.